Hey, it's Samantha Scafidi, and I play Victoria Hayes in the Terrifier franchise, and you are listening to 30 Screams or Less.
Warning: 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome, everyone, to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is called Marshmallow. It's directed by Daniel Del Purgatorio, written by Andy Greskoviak, starring Pearson Frode as Kazwar, Georgia Wingman as Rachel, Kai Chek as Pilar, Paul Stoder as Colin, and Max Malis as Dirk, and Ari Lehman as the asshole in the lake. Well, I mean, why not, Corey? Because we're talking about a movie that deals with the campground and the lake and all that stuff. So we might as well throw in a Friday the 13th reference.
No, edit that out so we don't get a bill.
No, I'm not going to edit. I'm going to leave it. Fuck you. You can pay for this. Fine. Never a dull moment here at 30 Screams or Less. Always dishing out the money, never getting any. Speaking of which, buy some merch and also visit our sponsor, Beard Octane.
Yeah, we have to pay Ari Lehman again.
Yeah, visit beardoctane.com, buy something, use 30 Screams 10 at checkout, all that stuff. The plot of the movie is what starts as a harmless legend about a masked figure spirals into paranoia, broken trust, and the realization that some stories exist because someone survived them. Nostalgic, mean-spirited, and a way less fun than it sounds, this is a summer of horror with consequences. But first, Corey, true horror story. Looked in the mirror this morning, my beard, an absolute nightmare. Dry, wild, looked like it clawed its way out of a crypt.
That's terrifying, man. Did you hit it with that beard octane?
Oh, yeah. Beard wash, conditioner, beard oil brought it back from the dead.
Fellas, don't let your beard turn into a creature feature. Keep it alive and kicking with Beard Octane.
And right now, hit beardoctane.com, use code 30screams10, get 10% off. Save some cash and save your beard from becoming a horror show.
Bad beard day? We've had plenty. Beard Octane's the fix. We swear by it.
30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Marshmallow?
Oh, it's my turn?
Yeah, it's your turn.
I've been sitting here for a half hour. You stumble over the words.
It's the fucking names, man. It's always the names.
Okay, so I went into this with zero expectations, and it still managed to disappoint me. Whew. We love slashers. This was sold as a slasher, and then it immediately abandoned that idea. It desperately wants to be a fresh take on the genre, but ends up feeling like a failed experiment no one asked for. Every twist is obvious from a mile away, and the movie drags on forever like a Quentin Tarantino film with none of the charm, tension, or payoff.
Woo! Damn. You didn't like this one, did you? Nope. Thumb down. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. I can already see where this is going. I see your point. So I went into this completely blind. I honestly just finished this movie about an hour ago, and I see what you're saying. It looked like, poster-wise, looks like a slasher. There was no slashing in this, really. Maybe kids getting electrocuted by, like, a rod, an electrical.
Doesn't count. Although we did get a lot of dead kids, and I am happy with that.
There was
it's been a while since we've had a lot of dead kids in a movie. Sort of.
Well, they're not really dead. They're not even kids, either.
We'll get to that. That's an M. Night Shyamalan twist we'll get to.
Yeah, it was an M. Night Shyamalan ding dong twist for sure at the end. This movie, I was bored for a lot of it. It really didn't kick into gear until like the third act. And I think half hour in, I like checked how much time was left on the movie, which is obviously a bad sign right away.
I did that a lot.
Yeah. So if I'm looking at my phone and just being like, how much fucking time is left, I'm checked out. You know, I understand telling the story and all that, but shit, we had like something happened at the very beginning with the kid's stomach being ripped open and like spraying out water everywhere, and I'm like, okay, Yeah, we're in a crazy dream sequence. Whatever.
That's what fine. I was thinking. Like, I was getting the vibes at the very beginning of this movie that something happened to it was Freddy and Jason right from the beginning. This kid's getting tormented in his dreams. That's what I thought was happening.
Sure.
And maybe he drowned.
Yeah.
Or something like Jason.
Right. And this doctor that was the, like, antagonist took fucking forever to get on film. And like I said, not even till like the third act. I mean, the kid was always talking about how like he was seeing the doctor and he was freaked out. It was just like, it could have been just someone like his mind playing tricks on him because there was a guy like in the very distance. I didn't expect it to go from like dream scenario into reality because I was fully expecting this movie to be something like all of this was in his head the whole entire fucking time, that type deal. So I wouldn't even say this movie had a lot of twists. It did have some twists, but I think it lacked proper direction. I think it needed, we needed some breadcrumb trails deal to get to where we eventually are at the end because everything went really fucking hard at the end. It's like they were just trying to jam everything together, right? Just trying to get it all fucking out in the open and be like, okay, here's an explanation, here's an explanation, here's an explanation, just real fast. And that can sometimes be a little bit overwhelming to people who are just trying to understand the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole time I'm thinking, I don't know if this is a slasher. I'm not seeing anyone dead. The whole time we're thinking, maybe it's all in this kid's head. You know, maybe these, like, he's sleepwalking. He's his own, like, worst enemy type deal. He's the one causing the problems, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. None of that was happening. And I'm just like, where is this going? You know what I mean? It took a while to friggin' develop.
The thing is, too, is like we take notes, obviously, when we do this. So we have, you know, plot points to talk about. What do you say normally? I have a fucking Twitter post worth of notes.
Yep.
Just because nothing happens.
Yeah.
There's nothing to write about.
Nope. Nothing. I pretty much take everything down for notes because I figure out whether I want to talk about it later. I mean, it's better for me to just take the notes and go, okay, I don't need that. Then go, fuck. What was I supposed to put down again? But there was a long time where it was just like your standard campground shit.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing fancy.
Teenagers having sex, drugs.
Oh, wait, no. Yes. I mean, sex, drugs, kids just doing shit at the camp. Yeah. Nothing was leading to the eventual like arc of the story. So it just, it was weird. I thought it was weird that it took really like a long time to get into it. I mean, it starts off with what I'm starting to think maybe is his grandfather maybe wasn't such a nice guy and maybe some shit went down and that like when he died, he said something to him. I couldn't remember what he said to him though. The audio, by the way.
The mixing?
The mixing.
I had to watch it with subtitles.
Really?
I remember putting the volume like 20 something on the TV and I'm like, no shot. I'm not going to keep going. And I just throw on the subtitles. Was it just the audio mix was bad or what?
It was the audio mix. The music was like, here with the dialogue. It was like, we're talking real close.
And then when the music starts playing, I feel like it got really loud.
It did.
Right? The music gets really loud, so you got to turn your TV down real quick. Otherwise, you're going to blow out your fucking speakers.
Yep. It was very loud.
We watched a movie like this. I don't remember which one it was where we were complaining about the audio mix as well.
Yep.
It was a bunch of episodes ago, but
it was a bunch of episodes ago. I remember we were, you know, really talking about that. We were really honing in on it. Audio is so damn important. If you have bad audio, people can't even bother to watch it or like listen to it. They're just like checked out entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I was streaming on Twitch, that was one thing I made sure to do better than most was to have at least good audio on my stream. Because if you have bad audio, people are just fucking gone. They're going to leave in no time. So mm-hmm. That's why I wanted to make sure like the podcast had good audio. So when I'm watching this movie and I can barely make out what they're saying at some points because of the like I'm so focused now on the background music being so loud that it was causing me to like have to go back and be like, what the hell did they just say?
Yeah, so, I rewound it a couple times because before I put the subtitles on, I missed it.
Yeah, it was fine being loud in points where there weren't dialogue. They can do that. That's okay. Just when there is dialogue, just fucking dial it back. Just make that more ambient music and it's fine, but don't be fucking like, we're going to throw this in your face too. And that caused a lot of problems with me trying to really understand this movie as well. And, you know, there honestly might've been plot points that maybe I missed because I was so focused on the audio.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's on me. I probably should have fucking did the subtitles. Like, you know what? I'm just going to have to make that a habit moving forward of just putting subtitles on.
I thought you were about to just say you were going to rewatch it. And I was like, why would you subject yourself to that?
No, I don't need to rewatch it. If anything, maybe I could start midway in.
No, don't.
Don't even do that? Okay. Yeah.
No, you're good. So, go watch RoboCop instead.
I mean, that's a great pick right there. That is, I fucking love RoboCop.
I know. That's why I said it.
Yeah. So, oh, God. You know what? Tonight they're playing RoboCop, I think the director's cut, on 35mm film at Coolidge Theater. Have you ever heard of Coolidge Theater?
Yeah, I've been there. Have you ever heard of the Room?
Yes.
I saw The Room there, and Tommy Wiseau was there doing like a Q&A.
It's fucking sick.
Yeah, it was cool. But yeah. I also did something. Went to a Kevin Smith signing there as well.
Oh, that's cool.
I watched one of his movies, and he was there. I can't remember which one, but.
Couldn't tell you.
But yeah, it's a great theater.
Yeah, I haven't been. I've been wanting to go, but these movies are at like midnight.
Mm-hmm. So
if anything, I could fucking like end this podcast soon and drive my ass down there and go watch RoboCop, but I don't think I want to spend 2 hours in Cambridge, Massachusetts, then having to drive home and be home by probably 2 a.m.
There's no fucking parking either.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't feel like doing that. That's something I would want to do with like a friend, not just by myself.
I'll do it with you.
All right. Well, let's go then.
Is it limited time?
Yeah, it's only one day.
Oh, today?
Yeah, it's today only.
Well, thanks for the heads up, Steve. We could have postponed this.
No problem. All right. So, yeah, we're going a little off topic here. So, yeah, we started off with the kind of the Freddy-type dream sequence. And it's important that we bring this up because I actually think, and you know what? I don't even fucking care to spoil this movie. I think it had to do with bad coding and like
that the kids were doing what they were doing.
Yeah, they were doing what they were like they weren't supposed to be doing because of bad code. And they're not robots, they're not human, they're something else that I couldn't fully understand. Like maybe they're kind of like one of these like 6 day type situations. Have you ever seen The Sixth Day with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I don't think so.
You don't have to. So basically it's like it's all about cloning. I think it's more along the lines of like they're cloning kids. Like to be like they'll die and then they find a way to basically bring them back, not like the original dead version, but like kind of a different organism entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And they live like regular kids. But it's pretty fucking weird because like the people involved in this whole thing aren't really even bad. If you think about it, like they're just trying to do something nice for the parents who can't get over their grieving. So a lot of those flashbacks that he was having was actually visions of his death.
Yeah, he realized that he drowned.
Yeah, and
at one point.
Yeah, and it didn't even dawn on me like the DOD, like instead of date of birth, like DOB, like it was DOD. Like it could have been either day of death or day of delivery.
You know what we didn't do?
What's that?
We didn't even put Sam in the opening of this podcast, the main character.
Oh, whoops!
The kid.
Sorry, kid.
Yeah, Dylan Friedman, he did a great job.
No, he did. He did a good job playing like the weird kid. I have no gripes about his performance. The performances, I think, were just kind of like run of the mill for this type of movie. It was fine. Yeah. I'm jumping way too ahead because I know that like we want to get our licks in.
And neither one of us really want to talk about this.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really want to talk too in depth about it because it's not great. I'll say this now. It's not great. Would I say it's like bad by any means? No, I've seen worse. I will say this though. Like I liked seeing Paul Soder in a movie that wasn't Super Troopers or Beer Fest.
I know the first time I saw him, I was like, it's kind of interesting seeing him in a more serious role. Mm. I'm sure he's been in way more shit, but I haven't seen him in anything other than Super Troopers. And yeah. Didn't we meet him at Silver Scream like last year, the year before?
Well, we walked by him. We didn't necessarily get to say hello or anything like
that. We saw him and the other guy, Rabbit, doing a photo with somebody where they were wearing their short shorts.
Yeah, they had the car there.
In the car, yep.
So that was a cool, they looked like cool people to meet. I just didn't get the chance to. You and I were busy walking around all over the place anyways, doing all sorts of shit.
Yep.
Not getting autographs by fucking... Oh, and we don't need to talk about it. We don't. it's traumatizing.
We're nipping that right now.
No, I don't want to open that wound again.
That was last year, though. The Super Trooper thing was 2024.
No, that was last year, too, wasn't it?
No, they were the year before.
Oh, am I just blending my fucking years now? That's a problem.
Yep, you are. Oof. You're blending 3 and 4. Silver Scream 3 and 4.
Okay. So, so they do kind of give this movie away a little bit. So they're doing the whole campfire scene where they're telling a scary story, and they tell the story about a doctor who's stitching up people and things like that. And I was merely just thinking of it as a way where camp counselors will just say, if you don't do this, this is going to happen, that type deal. Like, in a subtle way of saying, listen, don't fuck around or the doctor's going to get you, type thing. And I honestly thought that's where it was going. But it sounds like there was a little truth in that story. But then again, there's a little truth to every story, isn't there?
It was really all true, minus the cutting them up.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was that scene with CJ, who was fucking just gutted open.
Oh, yeah. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, that kid sucked.
He deserved it.
He did deserve it. So it's interesting, though, because he was lashing out. You know, he was just going crazy. He was doing his own thing and, like, freaking out. He was being a shithead bully, of course. But it turns out there was probably a reason for that. Like, as you saw towards the end, he was fine with Morgan. Like, he didn't have any, like, problems with them. So I think it was bad coding. Because at the end, they talk about, like, everyone, all the friggin', like, subjects are turning on people and just causing mass violence and things like that. Left it wide open for a fucking sequel, man. Wide open.
I feel like it kind of tried to take inspiration from Violent Nature, too, with the camera shots. Specifically that one that I thought was pretty cool. It had that kind of pan out shot of the fog over the water with the dock.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of from the forest and looking out at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did something similar to that same scene in Violent Nature.
Yeah, but in a Violent Nature, it was a masterpiece.
It was, and that's getting a sequel.
Good. It deserves a sequel. I mean, do we even really need a sequel for that movie? No, but...
You don't, but I want more violence.
I'll take it.
I want more, like, twisted yoga kills and hook kills and stuff.
That is an amazing kill. I feel like my favorite kill of that whole movie, though, was the log cutting scene.
Oh, well, the guy gets pulled into the log splitter.
Well, yeah, like that's right, the log splitter. And it's just going so slow, and his like head is just laid down there. And up until that very final second, you see him blinking the whole time. Mm-hmm. And it just looks so fucking realistic, man.
Because he was paralyzed, right?
Yeah, he was paralyzed. So he couldn't do anything. All he could do there was just sit and go, fuck, I'm dead, I'm dead, I'm dead, I'm dead, I'm dead.
That makes that scene so much more like awful to watch, mm-hmm. knowing that this guy can't do a thing and he's watching this wood splitter thing come towards his neck.
Oh, God. What an awful way to die.
Yeah.
He must have been screaming internally, like, help, I'm fucking, I can't move. But his vocal cords are probably somehow paralyzed or some bullshit. He's just fucked up. He can't do anything.
Yeah.
So, man, brutal. Absolute brutal death. We're talking about other movies than the one we should be reviewing. And that's
again?
A problem. Again. yeah, man. So fucking one third of the way in, nothing's happening. So here's what I'm thinking. Immediately, I am seeing this kid. He's on the toilet. He's doing his thing. And then like we start seeing water come in like crazy. And this is where he freaks out. He's running to like camp counselors saying that like someone's there, and they're just like, no one's there. So this is where we're like kind of blurring the lines of, is this just him sleepwalking and seeing shit, or is it actually someone there? But here's what I'm thinking, and he's in the bathroom, I see the water come in, immediately I'm thinking, oh, can you imagine if Zeke the plumber came in? You do know Zeke the plumber. Salute Your Shorts.
Mm-hmm.
Terrifying.
I haven't seen that show in a long time.
Oh my God, that's nightmare fuel right there. Zeke, okay, so for those of you who don't know, Zeke the Plumber was a horror character in the Nickelodeon show Salute Your Shorts. And he had like his nose was cut off and he had a bandage over it. He always wore like this rubber mask and like he would just kill people with a plunger or some shit.
And, you know what's funny? I just went on Google and I typed Zeke and that was the first thing it suggested.
Of course it is. Yeah, it's fucking horrifying. Look it up. Zeke the Plumber is twisted. He had no business being in a fucking like a Nickelodeon show. But if he showed up, man, I would be like, this movie's already horrifying. I don't need to see anything else. I'm good. This is fucking scary shit. So I want to talk about like the CJ kid who's clearly an asshole.
Yeah.
So he throws Morgan into the fucking water. Morgan doesn't know how to swim. And then his friend comes up, gets the shit kicked out of him, like you wouldn't believe. Like, yeah, he's getting his face pounded to a pulp, blood everywhere.
Poor, what was his name? Raj. It was Raj. Raj, yeah. Got his ass kicked.
Raj got fucking annihilated. And what I didn't understand, though, is he almost went into like this hell sequence. So, like, he went underwater. He was basically starting to drown, and he got pulled up by his grandfather. But in that sequence, he's sitting there with his grandfather at a table, and the grandfather, I guess, is in hell, and he's being, like, a real dick to him. Morgan's starting to vomit water like crazy, and I'm like, I thought the grandfather was kind of a nice guy to him, almost like his friend. And why would he be causing so much torment to him in hell type deal? Like, why would he even dream of that kind of sequence? So, and now I'm like, okay, is the grandfather involved in this whole thing? Like, you know, maybe faked his death and he makes a comeback and he's like, hello, Morgan. You know,
hello, Morgan.
Hello, hello, Morgan.
Hello, hello, Sydney.
Hello, yeah, hello, Morgan. Just shows up and he's like, maybe he's the scientist, right? Something. I just thought it was a weird random sequence.
Yeah, because he like really had no purpose. He was just around the dinner table. Mm-hmm. And then just, what, did he have a heart attack?
Yeah, had a heart attack. He gave him like a knife and then he died and that was it. It was really weird. It was a really weird opening. I'm trying to understand the symbolism between like why he died, like why he even needs to be in there. Like other than saving him when he drowned, that's like the only thing I could think of is that, okay, that's why it's symbolic. But I don't know, man. This movie confused me. I was pretty confused.
Speaking of symbolic, I thought that the Swiss Army knife was going to mean something.
Yeah, it wasn't, was it?
No, because they focused on it, because he gave it to the kid when he right before he died, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then they showed it several times. He mm-hmm. used it for something else later on, and whatever. It ended up meaning nothing.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be the, you know, the secret dagger that they needed to kill the doctor or whatever.
Right, something like that. Like, you know, they cut the doctor's throat or whatever and get away type deal. But
can only do it with the cursed knife that they did. You see Predator Badlands?
No, not yet.
Wait, no, that's not what I'm thinking. Welcome to Derry. You didn't watch that.
No, I didn't watch that either. I know I'm slacking.
Okay. No, I was going to say there's pillars in that they're the only things that can like weaken Pennywise.
Oh, okay. Well, so, isn't it just like being like, I'm not afraid of you?
No, not in this, like, because oh, it's no. a prequel. So,
oh, okay. So he's more of a badass. And then he turned into a little bitch.
Yes.
I'm not afraid of you. Oh no, I'm scared. Oh no.
Pennywise
oh no.
The bitch.
And then he just turns into like this fucking like flathead. I don't know. It's fucking like his whole body shrivels up and he's just like one giant head. So yeah, there was no real reason for the knife other than like maybe at the end where like the lead doctor, he gives it to him kind of like as a peace offering, like, hey, you know, you can have this. It's not going to fucking matter. You're dead type deal.
Yeah.
Then there's like this one kid who was clearly one of the campers who just didn't really want to be too involved in it. Like he was still thinking that like they're kids, but they're not kids. They're something else. They're just like clones or some sort of, they're not robots. They're not humans. They're something else. It's, I don't know. I couldn't, can you tell me what they were specifically?
Nope.
No? Okay. All right. Robots. They mentioned it. But I just didn't understand the term.
They're robots.
Yeah. So immediately I was thinking like, oh, they're fucking robots, aren't they? And the kid asks like, are we robots? And the guy goes, no. I'm like, okay, what are they? They're not human. What the fuck are they?
So, cool. Some kind of like fleshy being.
Fleshy being, a bag of flesh. But the idea was when they go to the camp, they're going there for like the summer. They go there to grow. And, like, they get basically a reset. So that way they don't have to remember any of that shit that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they go there, they grow, they get delivered back to the parents, all is well. But that is an awful way to grieve. You know, you just every summer you're like, you know what, yeah, I'm going to, like, hand my kid over or whatever this thing is over. Make sure it grows a little bit, gets its reboot.
You make them sound like Chia Pets.
Yeah, Chia Pets or Tamagotchi.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Real life Tamagotchis.
Yeah, exactly. So I was kind of thinking about this too as I'm watching it. Have you ever heard of a summer camp? I see this in movies all the time. Like in shows, everything like that. And kids go away to summer camp for like months. I have never seen a summer camp in my entire life. I have never known a person that has gone to summer camp. is this a fictitious thing that's made for TV and movies?
Summer camps?
Yeah.
No, it's where people, parents get rid of their kids for a few days or a week because they regret having them.
So it's just a week?
I don't know. I mean, it could be a full summer. It could be a week. We have one out here.
You do?
Yeah, it's actually Crystal Lake.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
No shit. No, it's not. Crystal Lake?
Yeah, New Hampshire.
Come on, you're fucking with me. Crystal Lake, New Hampshire. Fuck, it is a place. Well, I know we need to move now. It has several Crystal Lakes. Corey, we're moving.
You kidding me? That thing gets shut down all the time because the water's like toxic.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That and we have Jason walking around?
Yeah, that too. He's also chained to the bottom of the lake. Actually, we should make a trip. I think it's Minnesota that has the statue. Did you hear about this?
I did hear about this.
Yeah, so that whole life-size Jason chained to the bottom of the lake.
Mm-hmm. Gotta see that.
Someone just ponied up and spent a bunch of money and put that there.
You know what? Good for them. That's awesome. Now everyone wants to check it out. Now it's a tourist attraction.
Someone has fuck money and just put a Jason statue at the bottom of the lake.
God, can you imagine having that kind of fuck money? You're just like, I'm going to make a full-blown statue and freak people the fuck out.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's it.
I would love to check that out. Yeah, man. Okay, so where can we go with this? Like, I was thinking that, like, a lot of this was a government conspiracy thing at some point. Like, I don't know. Like, I was thinking a lot of things about this. So it was very confusing, and then everything got explained at the very end, which was they're all dead, which is an easy cop-out for an ending. This is like some sort of company that makes fake kids for grieving parents.
It was cool how the kids figured it out, though, because they found those death files.
Yes. I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah. I like that. It was interesting to see that all the campers were in on it. I honestly thought that, like, maybe one of them was, like, the asshole guy. I fucking have his name here. Where is it?
CJ?
Not CJ. The camper.
Oh, the older one. The one that began with a Z.
Kazwar. All right.
Kazwar.
Rock the Kazwar. Rock the Kazwar.
Kazwar.
Okay, so.
What a name, Kazwar.
Yeah, different. It's unique.
His name just made me hate him. That was before he even said a word.
Yeah, I know, right? So, yeah, he was the dick of the movie, like the asshole counselor that you see in every single horror movie that is at a campground. So when I saw him throw one of the kids at the doctor, I was like, oh, okay, now we have like a defector. But then it just slowly unraveled that all of them were part of it.
Yep.
And like it kind of just happened so fast. I mean, you had the one girl who was watching all the kids in the mess hall, and all these kids got fucking annihilated, just like Steamboat Willie, you know, where she locked the door, like, doctor goes in, fish in a barrel, all the fucking kids are dead. She gets out, and she's like, what the fuck, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, okay, so she's involved. And then it's like, all right, so everyone's fucking involved.
Oh, yeah. Every single person, counselor that was there was involved.
Yep. Yeah, every single one of them was involved. So I'm just going to skip to the end at this point because this is pretty much where everything happens, is all at the end. So the kids find out they're actually dead, and then they decide whether they want to take the fucking blue or blue pill or red pill, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. Because the guy handed them hot cocoa, which is just to knock their asses out so they can get a reboot. So there was Morgan, who I think didn't take the fucking hot cocoa. Because he made that little jab later on in the movie, like at the end to Kazwar, like, are you sure it wasn't a boating accident? So it seemed like he had knowledge of like what was going on and that maybe he was just accepting like, okay, I'm dead. I might as well be part of this because it seemed like he wasn't completely reboot. It seemed like he knew everything that was already going on. So I think maybe the friend there, she drank it because she was acting like normal. But he had like a different type of consciousness to him. So then we hear Collins on the phone with someone, and it's like the head of the company that he works for, which deals in these fake kids. So he's saying that, like, you know, we need to shut things down because the kids are acting out. There's something wrong. Like there's a glitch happening with the code. And then next up, you see Morgan's girlfriend there, covered in blood because she killed one of the camp counselors. And, you know, she goes in with a knife, goes to stab Collins, end scene, fade to black. That's it.
You're right. They could make it. No, it's going to be like Megan.
You think so?
Yeah, they'll find the sequel to Megan. They're going to find a way to like make these kids, I don't know, good somehow.
Oh, maybe. They're going to Terminator 2 it? Whatever.
No.
Yes, they will.
No, I mean, yes, they will, but I don't want it to happen.
Okay. Yeah, so this was left wide open for interpretation with maybe a sequel. I don't think a sequel's needed. However, I do feel like this movie should have been either a little longer or done a better job at friggin' leaving breadcrumbs and making, guiding us to the end there. But I don't think it did that. I think it just kind of put everything all at once. I think we should just go into it at this point. Corey, what do you give Marshmallow? I'm pretty sure I already know, but let's fucking hear it anyways. What do you give Marshmallow?
2 out of 5.
Woo, okay.
I'm not giving this a 0 out of 5 purely out of generosity.
Oh, okay.
Because the camp setting does most of the work and the score is shockingly competent compared to everything else. Mm-hmm. The plot sounds like it could have been interesting, which only highlights how catastrophically bad the execution is. Mm. I was bored most of the times, which we talked about. Then I was engaged. And Marshmallow ends up meaning absolutely nothing, which is impressive considering it's the title. And somehow it's the least thought out part of the entire movie.
Yeah, dude, I agree 100%. I'm going to go into mine and I have like a few things to say about this.
So, let's hear it.
Yeah, but you're going to be surprised. I'm going to go with a 3 out of 5 on this. It was boring for a while, and it really took a while to kick into gear. Like I was saying, third act, that's where basically everything happened. My gripe is that when you're dealing with such complex stories like this, you need to lead the audience to the eventual conclusion, like breadcrumbs, if you will. You can't just shovel everything into the third act. The dreams, now that I'm looking back at it, were more like issues in Morgan's code where he's remembering these traumatic moments when really he shouldn't even be remembering any of that. He's technically dead. So obviously now, like, thinking back about it, it had to have been bad code. Overall, I liked where this story eventually went. I just wish it had a smoother transition. The sound in this movie was tough and sometimes overpowered the dialogue, which can also be tough when you have movies that you really need to sit and understand the story. It can be very distracting. The acting was decent, nothing too amazing, but I'd say it was on par for this type of movie. And also, I gotta say, it was interesting seeing Paul Soder in a non-comedic role. I mean, like I was saying, we used to see him in like Super Troopers and Beer Fest, and I think he's in Strange Wilderness, right?
Oh, is that the one with the guy from Home Alone? No.
No, you're thinking...
The Boy Scout one. That's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, you're thinking... Oh, I know. I know which movie you're talking about.
He was in the Dukes of Hazzard remake. Club Dread.
Yeah, Club Dread.
Basically anything Broken Lizard.
Yeah, basically anything Broken Lizard. Holy shit, Strange Wilderness is jam-packed, isn't it?
Was he in it? Oh, Slammin' Salmon. I remember that one.
Fuck. Okay, well... I don't think he was, to be honest. I think I just assume he was because he's part of like all the Super Trooper movies and stuff like that, like that whole crew.
Yeah.
So yeah, he wasn't in it, but look at that cast when you have a second. It's fucking crazy. If you want to check out Marshmallow, you can watch it now on Shudder. All right, everyone, help out our algorithm by liking, following, and subscribing to us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, YouTube, and Slasher. Yes, all of them. No, we're not sorry.
Leave us a 5-star review on every podcast platform you use so strangers can also regret listening to us. Tell your friends too, because misery loves company.
Our intro and outro music is courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Go listen to him on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to buy it immediately like a responsible adult.
We're part of the Shining Wizards Network. Wrestling, heavy metal, horror, basically everything your parents warned you about. Go check them out at shiningwizardsnetwork.com.
Visit 30screamsorless.com to buy some merch.
Want us to review something? Contact us through our website or scream into the void on social media. Same difference.
Also, freshen up your face with Beard Octane and save some money while you're at it. Be sure to use the code 30screams10 at checkout to save 10% off your order because your beard deserves better than neglect and regret. Smell good, look alive, and scare people for the right reasons. I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.